Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. Today, the focus of Route 51 returns to politics as we welcome for the next hour Democratic candidate for governor and mayor of Milwaukee, Tom Barrett, discussing his priorities in the campaign, the political climate, and the charges and countercharges in what may be a challenging year for Democrats. And particularly for this program, we'll be talking to Tom Barrett about the issues that matter to all of us who live in North Central Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. Mayor Barrett's roots in Wisconsin are deep. His mother grew up in Door County, and his father moved to our state when he was stationed in Oshkosh for training in World War II. Tom grew up in Milwaukee. He attended law school at UW-Madison, and he worked on the assembly line at Harley-Davidson. Barrett ran for governor 8 years ago, but lost in the primary to Jim Doyle. He was then elected mayor of Milwaukee, and on his website, he lists his accomplishments as creating and saving jobs, solving a budget crisis, and reducing crime. He will face either Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker or former Congressman Mark Newman in the general election in November, depending on which of the two Republicans wins their primary contest next month. This is your opportunity to call in and talk directly to the man who may be the next governor of Wisconsin. We'll be taking your phone calls toll-free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Mayor Barrett, thank you so much for being on Route 51.
Well, thanks, Glenn. It's great to be on Route 51.
Now, you underwent additional hand surgery a couple of weeks ago after that altercation in which you went to the defense of a woman who was being attacked at the state fair. That happened a year ago. You were hit with a tire iron by a 20-year-old assailant. You were seriously injured. You lost a couple of teeth and broke your hand after, according to newspaper accounts, you landed a few punches of your own. How are you doing after all of that?
Well, actually, as I sit here, I have on my hand a machine called the continuous motion machine, which is on my right hand because I had surgery on the hand again 3 weeks ago. And so I'm exercising as we talk, or this machine is exercising my hand. I wear it about 6 hours a day, and it's just to try to build up the ligaments. But I have teeth. Every place you're supposed to have teeth, and the staples that were in the back of my head are long gone. The lingering issue, if you will, is the hand and getting the hand back. And we've made some progress. I've had three surgeries on it, but I don't fully anticipate to have full use of the hand, but I just want to get to the point where I can shake people's hands again.
Well, that's something that you need to do if you're a politician. Good luck to you in your recovery, Tom.
Thank you very much.
We need to ask you right off the bat about something that's in the news today. NPR is reporting that Harley-Davidson might shutter its plants in Wisconsin, which has been its home for 107 years, and that it's meeting with union leaders about cost-cutting moves. Can you share anything with us about the ongoing negotiations or how close the company might be to moving out of state?
Well, I can relate to you the conversations that I had earlier this year, because it was earlier this year that the management of CEO announced that it was going to look for concessions and then decide where to locate a lot of its production facilities that are located in Menominee Falls and Tomahawk. So those are the two communities that would be the most affected. So one of the communities is in southeastern Wisconsin, and then obviously Tomahawk in the northwestern part of the state. They asked me specifically, and this is from the CEO to the general counsel, others, that this issue not be politicized, and that what they were dealing with was a situation where they felt that their labor costs were higher than their peer groups and were also higher than the markets that they were operating in, and made it very, very clear to me that this was an internal conversation that they were going to have with their workers, similar to the conversation that they had in York, Pennsylvania. So to me, obviously I respected that, and we've had some conversations about some ancillary issues dealing with the city, but it is very, very much an internal issue about how it's going to treat its production workers and where the production is going to take place.
We've got a lot of listeners in Tomahawk who, of course, are very concerned about that manufacturing plant there. Now, if we were to lose Harley-Davidson, it would be on the heels of Miller Brewing moving to Chicago back in 2008. And you can go all the way back to the 1980s when we had Schlitz, you know, the beer that made Milwaukee famous, being bought up by a Detroit company. Is there something about the business climate in the state of Wisconsin that's driving big companies out?
Well, no, and let me, if I can somewhat correct you a little bit on the Miller situation. What happened with Miller and Miller Coors, because I was very involved with this, I traveled out to Golden, Colorado, and Denver, Colorado. That was a merger between Miller and Coors. And in many ways, it was akin to couples getting married, and they decided that neither of them wanted to live in their former home. They wanted to have a fresh start. So they located their new headquarters not in Denver, not in Boulder, not in Golden, and not in Milwaukee, but in Chicago. But what has happened since then is there's been an increase in the production of beer in Milwaukee. And in fact, I think its production of beer in Milwaukee might be the highest that it's been in some 40 years.
How is that?
Because they're literally brewing more beer here.
The big brewers or
the Miller Coors.
Miller Coors is okay.
Yeah. So I just want to correct you, because I don't want your listeners to think, oh, Miller or Miller Coors pulled out of Milwaukee. Yes, the corporate headquarters is in Chicago, but they actually have added a lot of production here in Milwaukee. And needless to say, we're happy with that. We were sorry to lose some of those white-collar jobs. We're happy to have gained many, many blue-collar jobs. So that's a little bit different. Now, Harley is a different animal in that they've made it clear that their corporate headquarters they're going to keep here. And the question is, how do they find a way to work with the folks here and find a way to stay? And according to the CEO, Keith Wendell, that's certainly what they hope to do. They hope to find a way to allow this production to remain here.
It would be devastating to Tomahawk if they were to move.
Oh, I know it would be. I know, and I've talked to people there, and certainly we're trying to do everything we can. And as you mentioned in your lead-in, my first job was working on the line at Harley-Davidson, so it's near and dear to my heart.
Mayor Barrett, the polls show you behind at this point. Rasmussen has Scott Walker at 50% and you at 43%. They have you at a virtual tie at about 45% each with Mark Newman. And there was a University of Wisconsin Badger poll 3 weeks ago that had both Walker and Newman at 32%, only 15% for you and a whopping 52% undecided. Do those polls worry you at this point?
I think what those guys should do is I think they should both just rest on their laurels and just relax. They got nothing to worry about. Don't worry about me. They can fight. In fact, I'm such a gentleman, I've offered to hold their coats while they fight with each other, because clearly we have to get through the Republican primary first, and that will be September 14th, and we'll see who emerges from that. But I think that there's a lot of people in our state, and they're not thinking about the governor's race right now. And I can't fault them. It's 80 degrees. It's August. They have lives. They have vacations. They have families. So I think that there's going to be a lot that's going to go on between now and then. And quite honestly, you've already had the Republican Governors Association spend nearly $1 million on negative ads toward me.
Well, I was going to bring that up. Here you don't even have a Republican opponent yet, but already these negative television ads are pretty much saturating the market in north central Wisconsin. It's an effort to define you before the general election. It's a very tough ad, and I'm going to play it right now, and we'll have you respond.
Sure.
He's raised taxes every year he's been in office, increased spending by 28%, and lost thousands of jobs on his watch. Think we're talking about Governor Jim Doyle? We're not. We're talking about Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. Barrett has raised taxes every single year, increased spending by $300 million, and since Barrett's been mayor, Milwaukee has lost thousands of jobs. Tom Barrett, more taxes, less jobs. Like Jim Doyle, only worse.
Like Jim Doyle, only worse. How do you respond to that?
It makes you want to hide under your bed, doesn't it?
It's your typical negative attack ad.
Yeah.
Scary music and everything.
Well, and it's interesting because, again, you talked about these polls that are essentially Republican polls, and it's somewhat ironic if these Republican polls are showing big leads, then why do they feel this need to spend $1 million in negative ads against me? So,
unless they feel that you aren't sufficiently defined in the state of Wisconsin, and this is their opportunity to do that.
I think that that's clearly what they're trying to do. And as you know, we've been running ads in north central Wisconsin, in the Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, as well as La Crosse markets. And obviously we want to define ourselves, but I think it's interesting, and we're going to point this out. You know, they talk about the increase in spending. We're about to point out that Scott Walker has increased spending by $350 million.
Well, let's respond to the specific allegations. Have you raised taxes every year you've been in office?
What has happened is that the levy has gone up by a small amount, just as it has for Milwaukee County.
And go on.
Both of us have, but I'll explain to you, Glenn, sort of what I think is really the linchpin difference here. And it'll give you a good glimpse of how I govern. About a year and a half ago, I had my budget director come into my office and say, "Mr. Mayor, we've got a serious problem. We're going to have to make a $49 million payment to our pension system." Now, that's the employer payment to the pension system, and we had not had to make a payment in 15 years. And I had a number of people who, and to put that in perspective, again, $49 million, the tax levy for the city, for the entire city, is $247 million. So imagine you've got a business, and you've got this brand new line item that's more than 20% of your major collectible. And so I had people say to me, just go out and borrow the money. The stock market went down. The federal government borrows money. The state borrows money. Milwaukee County borrows money. Just go borrow the money. And I said, and I call this my gut check moment because there were no cameras, there were no reporters there. And I said, we're not borrowing the money. We're going to deal with this. So primarily through spending cuts, we cut $32 million, over $32 million. And I'm very proud to tell you that right now our pension system is fully funded and has zero debt.
If you cut spending, how can the ad claim that you increase spending by 28%?
Well, here's my point, though. What I could have done, and I didn't do this. So the ad is correct in that our spending went up, but the spending went up to pay our pension obligation.
Okay.
Now, what I could have done, and this is very serious, and this is going to show you a huge difference between Scott Walker and me. Scott Walker dealt with his pension problem by borrowing $400 million. And I could have a lower levy this year than I had in 2004 if I had borrowed the money. My levy would be lower now than when I came into office. But this is what I think is, and I've seen this in the state, people are mad. They're mad because they think politicians don't make difficult decisions. They think politicians kick the can down the road and then pose for the holy pictures.
We will ask Scott Walker about that when we have him on this program, hopefully after the primary, if he ends up being the person who wins. The final charge, you've lost thousands of jobs in Milwaukee. Is that something that happened in Milwaukee, or is that part and parcel of the economy during the recession?
Well, if you look at the 101 largest metropolitan areas in the country, in the last year and a half, 100 of them have lost jobs. The only one that hasn't is McAllen, Texas. So every single metropolitan area except for McAllen, Texas, has lost jobs over the last year and a half. What they're referring to is not just the city of Milwaukee, it's the Milwaukee metropolitan area. So it certainly includes Milwaukee County. Again, Scott Walker is the county executive. So quite honestly, we could have made the identical commercial about Scott Walker.
And finally, that tagline, like Jim Doyle, only worse. How do you think Mr. Doyle has done as governor, and how are you different from him?
Well, I think it's been a difficult time to be governor in every state. And right now, if you look around the country, most states, and there was an article several weeks ago in Time magazine, and the cover was a generic license plate. Thank goodness it wasn't Wisconsin's license plate, but it was a generic license plate, and the letters were BNKRPT, bankrupt. And the cover story was about how virtually every state government in the country, with the exceptions of North Dakota and Montana, are facing deficits or structural deficits, and that's what we're facing here. So it's been a tough time to be governor. But the irony is, you know, they're saying how bad Jim Doyle is. Scott Walker started running against him 4 years ago, and then he quit. And I'm thinking, well, if you thought he was so bad, then why did you quit in the middle of the race? But that was what.
How do you think Mr. Doyle did handling that budget deficit? The trade-offs he had to make between fee increases, taking things from one part of the budget, moving it to the other part of the budget, and cutting spending.
Well, I think there's some things he did well, and there's some things that didn't work out well. And it wasn't just him; it was the legislature. For example, there's been a lot of criticism of money coming out of the transportation trust fund.
Our state representative from Mozanie, Jerry Petruski, that's a real hot button issue with him.
And I think it's a hot button issue around the state. But what should be pointed out is that happened in the 2003 budget and the 2005 budget. And what's interesting in both of those budgets is that you had a Democratic governor and a Republican legislature that did that. That only stopped when the Democrats took control, and frankly, it was Russ Decker, as much as anybody, who stopped that, saying we're not going to do that anymore. So there are unclean hands for people who are critical of that. It's both Democrats and Republicans who did that. And what I've said is, I'm not going to do that. And people can simply look at the way I've governed here in Milwaukee, and I haven't done that. So I think again, that was Democrats and Republicans. And that's why what I've said is, look, I think we need some adult supervision in the Capitol right now. And what you learn as mayor is you learn very, very quickly that people don't care whether their garbage is picked up by a Democrat or Republican. They just want their garbage picked up.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, 1-800-780-9742. We're going to be taking your phone calls right after this short break. John in Port Edwards, hang on. You're next. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
Wherever you're listening, the phone number 1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Democratic candidate for governor Tom Barrett. And let's go to the phones right now. We're going to John in Port Edwards. John, you're on Route 51. Hello, John.
Hello. Hi, Tom.
Hey, John.
Yeah, I guess you touched on a little bit, but my question was, the last few elections we've heard a lot about change and reform, and I was just wondering what you would do different down in Madison, like maybe touch on the influence of the lobbyists and what you would do to maybe tame that down a little.
Well, I'd be happy to, and we actually have some proposals that deal specifically with lobbyists. We have some proposals that deal specifically with legislators turned lobbyists, for example. And that is, the first one is a cooling off period for legislators and cabinet members, that they cannot leave state government and then immediately turn around and lobby state government. That there needs to be some transparency and some lobbyist oversight. And that would apply both to legislators and members of my cabinet, and certainly those who have high-ranking positions in the Barrett administration. We've also called on lobbyists when they have contacts with legislators or with high-ranking members of the executive branch to in basically real time, in a very short period, chronicle those to the Government Accountability Board. And the reason for that is the way it works is you've got lobbyists who they're happy when they are able to secure a meeting with a legislator or a cabinet secretary, and needless to say, they report back very, very quickly to their principal, to their client, when they've had that meeting. We think that they should also report to the public that they've had that meeting. So it's something that I think really increases both the transparency and the oversight. And this is an issue that I've been involved in from my days in the state legislature and in Congress. I was involved in this. In fact, I was a leading supporter of a gift ban in the U.S. House of Representatives, and I fought for legislation to require part-time federal lobbyists to register. I ran for mayor in the wake of scandal at City Hall, where we saw three aldermen go to prison, so we had lobbyist reform here. So it's something that I'm interested in at the state level as well.
John, thank you so much for the phone call. I want to squeeze in another call before our news break, so let's go to Ned in Wausau. Ned, you're on Route 51 with Mayor Tom Barrett.
Hi. Yes. I've seen some of the attack ads, such as the ones that you put on the air, and I think it's really important that the Barrett campaign do a good job of answering these attack ads as quickly as possible and learning from the mistake of John Kerry in 2004 of thinking, well, you know, his lawyer said to him, maybe if you just ignore these attack ads, they'll go away and people won't pay attention to Swift Boat Veterans for lies or truth, whichever way you want to look at it. Anyway, I am very happy with the Barrett campaign because I have seen a big difference between what he's presenting and what I see from the two Republican candidates in that he's specific about what he tells you he's going to do, whereas both of the Republican candidates say they'll cut spending, but they don't tell you where they're going to cut spending, and they don't get specific about all of the things. It's really a big difference between these three candidates.
Ned, thanks so much for the phone call. Tom Barrett, do you need to put out some of those attack ads of your own?
Well, first of all, thanks, Ned, for that. And let me just say this. We talked earlier about my attack last year at State Fair Park. And if there's one thing people can learn from that is I don't necessarily start fights, but you're not going to see me walk away from one.
Very good. Ned, do you have a quick follow-up?
Well, I just like people to take a close look at, go to the websites of all three of the candidates and see how specific they get. It's really significant, the difference between the three, among the three candidates.
Well, thank you, Ned. And he's right. We have a 67-page plan for getting our economy moving. We have a 22-page plan to put Madison and state government on a diet. I've talked about some of the proposals we've had for transparency and lobbyist oversight. And I'm doing this because I understand that this is a difficult time in a serious time. And I think people really want some serious, mature leadership, and that's what we're trying to provide.
Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, Democratic candidate for governor. He is our guest for the full hour on Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you want to talk to Tom Barrett, if you've got a question for him or a comment, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Jack in Winchester, hang on. We'll get to you right after the news break. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from the Sugar Maple Traditional Music Festival August 6th and 7th in Madison, with performances by Tim O'Brien, Jack Straw, Dennis Stromat and Creole Spirit, Liz Carroll, and more. Ticket info at sugarmaplefest.org.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg, and our guest for the next half hour, Milwaukee Mayor and Democratic candidate for governor, Tom Barrett. This is your chance to call in and question or share your thoughts with the man who could be the next governor of Wisconsin. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. And I want to go right to the phones. Jack in Winchester has been waiting patiently. Jack, you're on Route 51.
Hi, thanks a lot for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just have a question for Mayor Barrett. If elected governor, what would you do to promote and sustain the longevity of the forest products industry as we know it in this state? I'm deeply concerned with the rights of private landowners that own the natural resources and that of the taxpayers that own a lot of our public natural resources, well, all of our public natural resources. I'm concerned about a social paradigm in this state to where a large sector of the population doesn't think we should be utilizing the resources that we have right here in our own backyard. What will you do, if elected governor, to bolster natural resource extraction in Wisconsin and promote and sustain one of our biggest industries, the forest products industry? I'll take it off the air. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Jack, so much for your phone call.
Well, I think his reference to the forest products industry is important because one of the strengths of Wisconsin's economy is its diversity. And we obviously have a strong manufacturing element to our history. We've got a strong agricultural element, a strong tourism element, and forestry products are a very strong part of our economy as well. And so it's important for us to do what we can to maintain that as part of our larger economy. And I think as he refers to some who say don't do it, I think the real issue is an issue of balance and to make sure that we are, in essence, allowing our natural resources to replenish themselves, if you will, in such a way that we can have the economic benefits and at the same time have it continue for years and years and years. So to me, it's all about balance. It's making sure that we continue to have a strong forest products component to our economy, but not to wipe it all out at one time. And so I think that can be done, and I think it's something that has to be done.
You've been endorsed by the League of Conservation Voters. Comment on that.
Well, I'm very, very proud to have that endorsement. And I think a large part of it is because of the leadership I've provided here in southeastern Wisconsin. I'm someone who doesn't believe that economic growth and environmental protection or sustainability are natural enemies. In fact, I think quite to the contrary, that having a solid balance between a strong and growing economy and a sustainable economy are very, very important. And that's always the approach that I've taken. And here in southeastern Wisconsin, I've been very, very much a leader in recycling programs. I've been very, very much a leader in the green movement, if you will. We've got a lot of buildings here in Milwaukee that have green roofs that allow us to deal with some of our runoff issues. And so I've respected the environment. At the same time, I've been a great promoter of economic growth, and I'll continue to do that. And I do think, again, that forestry products are an area that supports a lot of jobs, and I want to see that industry continue to support a lot of jobs.
I need to get your reaction to a press release from Scott Walker's office calling you Wisconsin's biggest polluter today. And this is a direct quote. It's pure hypocrisy that President Obama's environmental police are coming to town for a photo op with pals Tom Barrett and Jim Doyle, and the schedule of events doesn't include a tour of the billions of gallons of raw sewage and stormwater Barrett's sewage district dumped into Lake Michigan. Tom Barrett is Wisconsin's biggest polluter, dumping over 8.2 billion gallons into Lake Michigan since taking office. Your reaction to that?
My reaction to that is, wow, it'd be interesting to see how the environmental groups feel about Scott Walker, quite honestly, because I think what you see is you see the environmental groups who understand that I have been really a steward of the environment. And what is true is I'm not God. And we had here in southeastern Wisconsin a rainfall just 2 weeks ago that had over 8 inches of rain in parts of our city in 2.5 hours. And certainly our capacity for our deep tunnel system could not hold that volume of water, just literally could not hold that volume of water.
Do there need to be upgrades in order to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again, or have the storms just been so severe that there's really no way you can prevent something like that happening?
Well, what has happened over the years is, I'm going to go back 20 or 30 years ago, there used to be probably 50 to 60 discharges into Lake Michigan per year. So quite honestly, it wasn't news because it was happening all the time. Now, with the improvements that have been made to the deep tunnel system and the added volume that's occurred since I become mayor, those discharges are down to probably between 2 and 5 a year. So now people notice it. But what people like Scott Walker don't want to point out is that the improvements that have been made over the last several decades have been huge. And there are some who say, well, what you need to do is go separate the sewers. Well, that's a $5 billion tax increase. And so I want to see him come forth and say whose taxes he's going to raise $5 billion if he sees that as the solution.
Do you favor an independent head of the DNR, a return to the public intervener's office?
Yes, I do.
And Governor Jim Doyle, when he was running for governor, also said he favored that, and then later turned around and decided it wasn't such a good idea when he realized he'd have to give up his power to appoint the head of the DNR. How can we be sure that's not going to happen to Tom Barrett?
Because I'm telling you, I'm a man of my word.
Let's move to Pat in Lake Tomahawk. And again, if you would like to talk to Mayor Tom Barrett, who's running for governor as a Democrat in Wisconsin, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Pat, you're on Route 51. Hello, Pat. I think we've lost Pat. Pat wanted to talk about light rail in Wisconsin. Mayor Barrett, there was a news conference held not too long ago in which Governor Doyle had Secretary Ray LaHood, who talked about the high-speed rail between Madison and Milwaukee. If I'm not mistaken, both of your Republican opponents, Mark Newman and Scott Walker, have called it a boondoggle and said that they would try to repeal it if they had an opportunity to become governor.
And I disagree with them, and I think that this is an area where it's actually pretty amazing to me. And I'll be honest, this was a surprise to me. I didn't expect this to be a partisan issue because when I served in Congress in the 1990s, the champion of rail and high-speed rail in Wisconsin was Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. So I have been truly surprised that it has taken such a sharp ideological turn to the right. But I think what has been missing in this debate is an honest conversation about what they're intending, because it's important for your listeners to realize that Congress and the President appropriated some $8 billion for high-speed rail. That money can be used for one thing and one thing only, and that's high-speed rail. Wisconsin actually came out as one of the big winners when you think about our population and the fact that we're getting over 10% of the nation's money for high-speed rail. We're going to get some $820 million right here. To make it even better for Wisconsin, unlike Illinois or Ohio or Florida or California, the appropriation that we have received pays 100% of our capital costs. So in other states, they're having a debate right now as to how to make up the differential between what the federal government has provided and the cost of the construction of the rail in those states. Here, it covers 100%. So they're saying, no, we don't want this money. But the misinformation, and this is troubling to me, and I hope you ask them this when you have them on the show, they will want you to believe that somehow they can go to Washington and have Congress say, oh, that's okay, you don't have to use it for high-speed rail, you can use it for something else. And not going to happen.
Is this link between Madison and Milwaukee all that's going to happen, or is there a future in which we'll have high-speed rail, light rail connecting Milwaukee, Madison, Wausau, Eau Claire, Superior, Green Bay, La Crosse, so that we won't have to spend so much time behind the wheel?
Well, the short term is it actually is, and I think this is one of the other misnomers, it's not just Madison to Milwaukee, it's Madison to Milwaukee to Chicago. And really what they're talking about is a link, the next link would be up to the Twin Cities. So it would certainly connect more of the state of Wisconsin, and so this is just the first leg. But the question that I think they have to answer, this money is going to be spent for high-speed rail either in Wisconsin or in another state. And so the question they have to answer is, would you rather have this money spent on high-speed rail in Wisconsin or high-speed rail in Florida?
1-800-780-9742. If you'd like to talk to Democratic candidate for Governor Tom Barrett, let's go to Paul, who's on the road in Minocqua. Paul, you're on Route 51.
Hi. I have a question in the fact that there's some really key people, I think, in the Doyle administration who have stepped up the plate recently. A particular note, Aaron Oliver, their Secretary of Commerce, who's really done a great job for recognizing people north of 29 or 8, wherever you want to draw the line there, up here in the North Woods. My question, I guess, is will there be serious consideration for people like Aaron, key other people in the Doyle administration? Aaron's a Rhodes Scholar and outstanding talent and could make serious money beyond what he has in government. We're just fortunate that he's here now.
Interesting question. Here you haven't been elected yet, Mr. Barrett, and he's asking you to staff your cabinet, but we'll let you take a swing at it.
Well, I like the way you say take a swing at it because I think the baseball metaphor works here. I never talk about a no-hitter, and so I'm not even thinking about who my cabinet members are going to be. It's something that's, like I said, it's thinking about who the cabinet members are going to be is way too close to talking about a no-hitter. I will say I know Aaron Oliver. He's obviously a very talented person, as the caller pointed out. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's been with Commerce for a long period of time, and he certainly is a talented guy.
Paul, thanks so much for the phone call. Mayor Barrett, President Obama is going to be headlining a fundraiser in Milwaukee for you on August 16th, and this fundraiser has precipitated a news release from the Walker campaign saying that you, unlike other Democratic candidates, are embracing Obama's liberal agenda wholeheartedly. Your reaction?
Well, I have four kids right now. They're three are teenagers and one's a preteen, and so I don't have any grandkids yet, but I'll be happy at some point when I'm a grandpa to say, hey, I had the President of the United States who came here to help me campaign. And regardless of whether it's a Democrat or Republican or who it is, I think anybody would be honored to have the President of the United States come and help them campaign. So I am very honored to have the President come here. And quite honestly, if a Republican president wanted to come and endorse me, I'd be happy with that as well. I'm honored to have his support.
Mr. Obama won Wisconsin by 410,000 votes 2 years ago. Now his popularity is somewhere in the mid 40% range. We see a vast outpouring of rejection of some of the policies of the Obama administration, and polls that show the Republicans are going to make substantial gains. For somebody who's accomplished so much as president, passed so many of his initiatives, why the disconnect with voters? Why are they questioning the record and the legacy of this young president so soon?
Well, I think the real issue is still the economy and the jobs. And Wausau is an example of this. We have high unemployment rate in Wausau. We have high unemployment in Janesville. We have high unemployment rate in many communities in the state. So people are, they're feeling uncertain. The uncertainty makes them nervous. And so if you were to ask the question, are we in a great situation? The answer is no. We're not in a great situation. This has been a long, long recession that began under President George Bush. And so I think the Republicans that are running right now want this to be a referendum on whether the recession has ended. Well, I'm here to tell you the recession hasn't ended. So if the only question of the election is, has the recession ended, the answer is no. And I'm as mad about that or as exercised about that as anybody. But then the next question is going to be, this is not going to be just a referendum. It's going to be choices between candidates. And you've got, for example, in this race, you've got two candidates who are saying, even though we've got a 2.5 and actually probably a $2.7 billion structural deficit, that they're pushing tax cuts for the wealthiest people in the state and for corporations that have not really been punished by any measure, and none of the tax cuts that they're talking about, none of them are aimed at working people or the middle class. And the price tag for their tax cuts is $1.8 billion. So take that $2.7 billion structural deficit, add $1.8 billion more to it, and you're talking about a $4.5 billion structural deficit. That's what they want to do. So if you're concerned about education, if you're concerned about health care, if you're concerned about public safety, if you're concerned about property taxes, hold on to your hat with these guys coming in. And so what I'm saying is I'd love to have tax cuts. And when I get to tax cuts, they are going to be for the middle class and the working people in the state. But the first thing we've got to do is we've got to get our fiscal house in order. And that's going to take a lot of work. It's not going to be easy. But that's what I want to do first.
We've got to take a quick break. We've got Mayor Tom Barrett for about another 10 minutes, 1-800-780-9742, if you'd like to join the conversation. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio.
Support for WPR comes from the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure, joining thousands to save lives and end breast cancer August 22nd in downtown Wausau. Information and registration at KomenCentralWisconsin.org.
Al from Wausau left a message on Facebook. He wants to know what your specific plan is, Mayor, for the economic recovery, which as you just said, is something that still seems to be eluding us.
Well, and what I would refer Al to and your other listeners to is to my website, which is www.barrettforwisconsin.com. And on the website, you'll find a 67-page plan to get Wisconsin's economy moving again, how we want to create jobs. And it really focuses on some short-term and some long-term. In the short-term, we want to focus on make sure that we've got tax credits for job creation, and I think it's important to tie those tax credits to actual jobs being created in the state. We talk about looking at the regulatory burden in the state and making sure that it's not disproportionate to the other burdens around the Midwest in particular. And what I've found as mayor is that naturally when people come to government for some sort of regulatory question, they want a quick yes, not a shocker, they want a quick yes. But it probably surprises people to hear that in some regards, the second best answer is a quick no. And the worst answer is, oh, we'll get back to you. Because they then feel like they've entered regulatory limbo and may never come out of it.
When I worked briefly as a salesman, that's what I was told. No is the second best answer you can get.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's just then you can move on and you can adjust. So, but we've also talked about moving a lot of the economic development and initiatives right into the governor's office to send a clear, loud message that my priority as governor is going to be to do everything I can to create, retain, and attract jobs. So that's another component, and it's a look at the programs in the different departments, whether it's commerce or transportation, and see which programs are working, and if they're working, we beef them up. If not, we get rid of them.
You mentioned that you want to put Madison on a diet. You specifically have a plan for cutting the pension bonuses for elected officials and political appointees. What's that all about?
Well, right now, you get an extra bump, if you will, as an elected official or as one of the higher paid employees of state government. And I think at a time when people around the state are being asked to make sacrifices, that you shouldn't have that extra sweetener for elected officials and high paid state officials, and that it should be in line with the other state workers. Because quite honestly, I think people in this economy are lucky to have a pension at all.
There's a widespread anger right now in conservative circles about the national health care reform legislation. 70% of the voters in Missouri this week cast an advisory vote to opt out of the mandate. Did that surprise you? And the reason it may be relevant in Wisconsin, Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has proposed joining the other states that are suing the federal government over the new law, saying that the mandate infringes on states' rights under the 10th Amendment. Governor Doyle turned J.B. Van Hollen down. Do you think that was the right move? And what's going on in Missouri? Do you think that anger is shared in Wisconsin?
Well, I do think it was the right thing to turn down J.B. Van Hollen on that request. And this is a situation where Wisconsin, I think, actually is in a competitive advantage with other states, because many of the requirements of the new federal law are requirements that we are already complying with here in the state of Wisconsin. And so we have a situation here in Wisconsin where we have a much shorter distance to go to comply with federal law. So you've got states like Missouri or like Texas that have a long way to go. And from my standpoint, I want to do what I can to make this law work. Is it perfect? Of course it's not perfect. I have never seen a law that is perfect. And to the extent that we have to make adjustments or revisions, we're going to do that. But I, for example, think it's a good thing that children in the state under federal law will no longer be denied insurance because they have pre-existing conditions. And I think it's a good thing that a 23-year-old woman who has diabetes is no longer going to have to choose between working and going to school because she could now get insurance through her parents' policy. I think those are positive changes. I don't know why they want to repeal those changes.
One final quick question. I'm going to need a very quick response from you. This is an item in the news today. UW system leaders and Wisconsin Technical College system leaders want tens of millions of dollars of additional need-based financial aid despite the budget shortfall in Madison. Is that something that you think is possible?
We have to make sure that low-income people can get into our educational system, but then we're going to have to talk with university and technical school leaders how they're going to achieve more efficiencies in their system, because we can't print money in Wisconsin, and we've got a $2.5 to $2.7 billion structural deficit.
And finally, Mayor Barrett, how are you going to get independents to vote for you when the polls show they're swinging Republican, and how can you motivate your own base of Democrats to turn out when the polls show that they're not very enthusiastic right now?
Well, as I said earlier, being mayor is the world's most practical job, and I talked about garbage before. I'll also say this. People don't care whether their snow is plowed by a liberal or conservative. They just want their roads plowed, and that's what you learn as mayor. It's all about getting things done. So we've got right now on the Republican side, we've got this ideological war where they're trying to leapfrog each other further and further to the right. From my standpoint, if you're looking for the ideologue, I'm not the guy. I'm a pragmatic guy who wants to get things done.
Tom Barrett,
right now, we've got to move the state forward.
We have to stop right there because I'm about to run out of time. Milwaukee Mayor and Democratic candidate for Governor Tom Barrett. Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
And we will try to get the winner of the Republican gubernatorial primary, either Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker or former Congressman Mark Newman on Route 51 after the primary. I'm Glenn Mobrig. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, Bill Martens fills in for me as host of the program. I'm back on August 19th as we focus on breast cancer and the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Until next week, we're heading out of town.